Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps Month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I've been joined by Andy Stevens from Cook Trading. Cook has been taking some of the strain in the kitchen, providing remarkable food for your freezer since 1997. They've been a certified B Corporation for over 7 years and have just gone through the recertification process, which I'm sure we'll have a chat about, Andy. Andy is Cook's social impact manager and is an experienced sustainability professional, being passionate about how business can create a more sustainable food system and society. So, Andy, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Nice to be here.
So, can I kick off, Andy, and looking at you personally, what nourishes your sustainability passion?
So, for me, I really care about sustainable food. So, yeah. I just think that I love food, and I generally think the better if the food's been grown better, it's been looked after better, it's going to taste better. It's communally all come together in that way. So it's just about sort of innovation that drives the world forward.
And is it the fact that the sustainability is about that innovation, is about how the food industry can change? Because the fast food industry has just rocketed, isn't it? And of course, and a lot of people turn to that in their moments of need. But the food industry is responsible for a tremendous amount of food waste. And
I think that's sort of part of the thing that interests me, is that it's something which touches everyone. Everyone needs food, and you've got this system which has evolved to. Into a way which is actually having a large negative impact in the planet. Yet there's loads of exciting and innovative ways out there, which with a little bit more thought and care, we can move food, which is one of the most important things, into a much more sustainable trajectory.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's good. Is the waste, the food waste problem, the hot potato in the food? Sorry, I had to throw them in.
puns, food for thought, also an one that comes up a lot. Food waste is a massive one. The sort of reports around a third or more of all food being wasted from sort of farm to fork is huge. And that's a massive challenge, and certainly something that we've been working on at Cook. Sort of whether you're thinking about how can you reduce food waste from improving your recipes, or working with other charitable partners so you can distribute it. I think that's definitely an area. A really interesting one, which is rearing its head now, is things like the scope 3 emissions, so the emissions and the impact of the supply chain, and also sort of regenerative agriculture is certainly becoming a buzzword around food businesses. So the idea that you can farm in a way which is having a positive impact on the soil and biodiversity. So, there's still a long way to go on that journey. That's some of the interesting stuff. The hot potatoes, at the moment.
Yeah. I'm a big lover of food. It's probably been my downfall in the past, to be honest. But we mentioned food waste. Another aspect that I've seen is about packaging. Obviously, there's a lot of noise about packaging. People want... are becoming more demanding in their packaging. When you see that, is that a challenge for you?
Definitely. It was a few years ago, around the time of Blue Planet 2, where there was a real sort of crescendo of noise.
Yes.
That was a similar time to when I joined Cook. And there'd been loads of work that we'd been doing in the background about our trays. So the problem was that back then we were in black trays.
Yeah.
And they basically just weren't being recycled. So they weren't being picked up by the segregation machines.
The scanners can't see them, can they, essentially? Yeah.
Exactly. And since then, so we're now sort of, we switched over from our black trays to be green, grey, brown trays, depending on what sort of material comes from them. But it means that they are now sort of widely recycled. And they're made up of, I think it's about 83% recycled content as well.
So we've
definitely taken a huge step forward there. We're still working on things like the film. So the film isn't recyclable at the moment, but I know we're making sure the card that we get is and has good recycled content. So that was one which I think probably 2 years ago or so, it was a load of noise. And it's probably the one, speaking to people who work in our shops, people would stop buying from us because the plastic wasn't recyclable. And it's, I guess, being a business of our size, it's the challenge is we can't always sort of push things, because if we were a massive company, we might have been able to have a bit more leverage to move faster. But I think we've done pretty well. We've also, our kids' meals are in a card tray. So we've been exploring different ways to move to more sustainable packaging. And realistically, we're going to continue to do that going forward.
And I mean, that kind of underlines the fact that this is all a journey. This is not perfection, is it? I mean, being a B Corp is not, you aren't perfect now.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite quotes is, we don't need a few people being perfectly sustainable. We need thousands, millions of people doing it imperfectly. I probably use the word journey more than any other word when I talk about sustainability, because it really is. And it's complicated stuff. But I guess sometimes people get a bit scared by it, but you've just got to get involved and just see where you can go and see how you can improve. There's not always an easy answer, but it's about just prioritizing and choosing, okay, we can't do that right now, but we can make this step forward, which is a positive thing.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think it's a point to get across in B Corp month is that, you know, we're not looking at a bunch of perfect, sustainable warrior types that are doing this. We're people who are just passionate about doing better. On your website, and for those who want to look up Cook, it's cookfood.net is where you need to head. And we'll put some links on our show pages, the episode page for this. Your company values are a joy to read. I kind of want to work for you. Where did they come from? Where did these values grow out of? Because they're obviously not there from day one, were they?
Well, I think they probably were like there from day one. So the values are basically they're a shared set of behaviours, and it wasn't they maybe hadn't been articulated right at the very start. So when I joined Cook 4 years ago, they were well and truly embedded. As I said, they're just a shared set of behaviours that we have, and we use that language all the time. So we talk about being part of the family, having fun, Churchill's pig, sort of all the different values that we have. And definitely our people team, when they're thinking about hiring, they think about the values as well. And it just means that Cook are full of like lovely, fun people who sort of, it does feel like a big family. That's reflected. We do pretty well in the Times top 100 companies to work for. We've been in that for the last 6-7 years. It is. And I think the values, as I said, just, it gives a really nice shared language. One of them is Churchill's pig. I think it's a cat looks down on a man, a dog looks up to a man, but a pig looks a man straight in the eye. It's all about sort of equal and honesty. Definitely from a sustainability point of view, it's a value I can use when we're having conversations and sort of say, do we think we're doing well enough in this area? Is this something we can improve? Which sort of opens the door to conversations that might be a little bit more tricky other times.
Yeah, and it kind of the way you presented them, or they're presented on the website, is there's an element of transparency. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that B Corps brings, doesn't it? Is that a desire to be more transparent about what you're going to do and how you're doing better. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I think sort of for sustainability, transparency, accountability and ambition are sort of things which are so important. The transparency, I think, it's all about sharing your journey. So you've got so many businesses who are wanting to move in the right direction. And the more that we can be open and honest about this is where we're working, this is where we're struggling, this is where we've done really well, to sort of help people move faster. So the BCOP community is amazing for that. So you can drop an email to pretty much anyone you want to. I've chatted to loads of different businesses about carbon footprints, packaging. Loads of different people across Cook are members of different working groups. And it is a really generous community to be part of. And likewise, when people are thinking about becoming a B Corp, we're always keen to chat to them to get them to join the gang. Help them on their make progress.
I must admit, we only became a B Corp in August last year, after a 9-month journey trying to get certified, but we'll come to that in a minute. Since we kind of made ourselves, went into the community, and you kind of get introduced, but you actually have to go in and use it. But once you do, it's amazing. I was speaking to, when I was arranging all these interviews, I was speaking to people on the Beehive, that is what B Corps get talk users when you become certified, and they were quite happy to refer me off to their, what essentially were their competitors. And you go, oh yeah, you need to go talk to these other people, because they knew each other and they talked to each other and they've been in the same groups, working groups together, and they're competition, yes they are, but there's room, and yeah, there's room for transparency. And of course, you'll actually help out a competitor who's a B Corp. It's a bit, it's almost incestuous, but let's not go into that. What am I saying? Some of your initiatives are very very generous as well. I mean, the one that first draw Cook to our attention was your kindness fund at Christmas. Perhaps explain that one a bit.
Yeah, so actually, the kindness fund kicked off pretty much in the first lockdown. So we, one of the sort of our pillars of purpose is we want to nourish communities. We want to help create a kinder and more connected society. And we knew that we have a potential to do that through our shops and through our food. It was back in March last year where I think we decided, okay, could we give away 100,000 meals to start off with? So we opened up this process. We sort of asked people, our customers, do you know any organisations who could do with some cooked food? So we asked if you could come and collect it from our shops. We're happy to donate it so you can distribute it to the people who are isolated or feeling a bit isolated or actually isolating. And also we were supporting some NHS frontline workers. The response was amazing. So I think it was by around June or July, we'd given away 100,000. And we've continued to do that. We're up to about 180,000 now. And we're actually having a bit of a break now and considering how we properly integrate the kindness fund into our strategy going forward, because it was a response to the pandemic. But it sort of, as you said, it really it caught the moment. We're doing a February 17th has already happened as a random act of kindness day. And we're sort of trying to celebrate that as Cook as well. So yeah, I suppose it links with our values of care. The more individuals can do just to spread a bit of kindness and a bit of joy, that will ripple on and create a nicer society. So the kindness fund is sort of one of the things we do for the community. We'll hopefully continue to do for a while.
That's brilliant. I mean, we loved it. We plugged it to death as much as we could do. And we will again, I'm sure. It'd be interesting to see how you develop that as a long-term strategy, because I'm sure, you know, many people would love to get involved, because I think it's incredibly generous. There are three questions I'd like to ask you before we get on to some of the little more funny bits. Why did Cook decide to become a B Corp? What was it about the B Corp movement that attracted them? Because they were one of the first in the UK, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. So it was before my time at Cook, but I think the reality had been that Cook had always been a business that was about more than profits. So people had always been at the heart of what we were trying to do. Right. So make sure, I know, yes, we want to make profits, but we want to do it in a way that we can be proud of. So I think the senior team at Cook were looking for the right fit around where do we want to go in terms of sustainability and purpose and things like that. And one of the team at the time had heard about the B Corp movement over in the US. So I think a lot of the team flew over to a B Corp event in the US to really learn what it was about. And I think the language, like they it felt like they instantly found their tribe. Right. So just as we said, like the open, warm community, the collaboration that takes place there, and also the rigor and like the stretch that the B Corp assessment gives you. So yeah, I think there was pretty much unanimous then. They were like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Let's become one of the first UK B Corps. It just felt like it was a movement which really chimed with what we were already trying to do.
Yeah. And grown from strength to strength in the UK. I was at over 400 now, I think. I'll have to go check my maths at some point.
Yeah, I think it may be more than that. I know 400 is about right, yeah. Five years in, we're about, over 400.
But the queue now is ginormous. And that brings me on to the certification and perhaps, because you weren't around for the initial certification, that from your perspective, was it a walk in the park? Was it, you know, it's just ticking a box, isn't it? And just going through the, just answering the same questions and you know, is it easy?
It's a pretty full on rigorous process, which is right. There's about 200 questions. So across the different areas of the B Corp assessment. And I guess, some of them during a recertification, it's easier to answer. But there's others where the data is always changing about your environmental performance or the number of people you have or your suppliers and things like that. It's a pretty full-on process, but what's useful is we very much try and use the assessment as a external benchmark of our performance. So the aim is always for us to be continuously improving as a business. So the B Corp assessment is a great sort of third-party assessment that we can put our information through, and it comes out and tells us, oh, you've got this many points in this area. And we've used it in the past to sort of target areas where we think actually that area is not maybe performing as well as our people area has always been very strong. So we've sort of used it to target areas for improvement. It's a pretty amazing free resource that you can just sign up to.
That's a good point. I mean, it's worth mentioning. There are a lot of people that have done this, but you can sign up and go through the whole questionnaire unfettered and uncosted. And because you're taking that route, if you choose to, you could go seek out B Corp, B Locals as they're forming. So one in Cornwall, is one near you? I don't know if you're in a B Local.
We generally get the ones up in London. So yeah, we maybe need to do a bit more down in Kent. There's a few B Corps down
there. Yeah, push ahead, become a
coach. Yeah, we need to do a bit more there maybe. Yeah.
and just going back, actually, one of the questions I meant to ask you, your job title, social impact manager, does that make you the executive chef, sous chef, commis chef, kitchen porter in that process?
That's probably my fault for not updating my LinkedIn, but my title is now head of sustainable food. So I joined a social impact manager. I sort of work with a huge number of people across the business and sustainability. So we've got a director of sustainability who I report to. My sort of work covers our environmental performance. We're looking loads into our supply chain. So thinking about animal welfare, I mentioned regenerative agriculture, starting to explore that in more detail, responsible sourcing. I sort of get involved with the community strategy as well. It's as you sort of said on our website, you can have a look at all the things that we're doing, but we're definitely trying to approach sustainability from a holistic point of view. So thinking about our workers, the community and the environment. Yeah, so it means there's always something to be learning about and trying to improve. So it's
that's true. And probably the follow on from that and your previous comment was it would be very difficult for a company to become a B Corp unless their heart was in it. Would you say that's true? Or I mean, you could do it in a mechanical, scientific, tick all the boxes type way, but would it work?
So yeah, it's an interesting one. I reckon there are businesses out there who sort of, when they explore the B Corp assessment, they think, could we become a B Corp? And they say, and they work out, if we did X, Y, and Z and invested this much money, we could improve ourselves. But the reality, and what another thing I like about the B Corp movement and the assessment is every 3 years you need to recertify, and every 3 years the assessment gets more difficult. So if you basically certify and then stop, and the next time the question come around, you're not going to meet the mark. So yeah, I think it's I guess it doesn't sound like that happens much. So the movement is very much about businesses who are bought into trying to be a force for good, and continuously driving for improvement. But I don't know. I don't imagine there's many people who are just signing up to try and use it as a marketing stamp because it's too difficult.
It is too difficult. And I think if you took it from the perspective is how much it's going to cost us to do this, you know, you're now medium sized company with a director of sustainability and a sustainability food manager and probably other sustainability roles, and this big filtration of sustainability in the workforce. People look at that and go, we can't afford to do it. And as soon as you're kind of saying that, you're probably going to lose.
But I don't think that should necessarily, again, put people off, because the number of organisations we've spoken to are thinking about it. They are small organisations. And I think what's also great about the B Corp assessment is so it's got a people area, environmental area, community area. You can break it down and have numerous people in the business working on it. So someone from your people team working on a particular area like that. If you were one person going through all of it yourself, it could be pretty daunting. I think it's probably better when it's spread and integrated across the business. That's something we're again striving to do more is integrate the assessment, because it's a really useful tool for all different parts of the business to think about how to become a better business.
Brilliant. So I don't know, can you say why can you put your finger on why Cook and yourself value the B Corp certification? Can you put a finger on that?
Yeah, I think there's sort of two things I quite often talk about. It's the measurement. So I sort of mentioned that before.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good tool. It's sort of every 3 years you sort of stand up against the wall to be measured, basically, and you see how much you've grown as a business. Or if you haven't, you can ask yourself questions about that. So that's definitely one thing. But the movement and the community, the conversations I have saves the business money, saves us time in improving our sustainability. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, the B Corp community. Getting involved with others. So it's great for staff engagement. And it's a useful lens to sort of put the business through as we're thinking about developing.
I think at that point, if anybody is thinking about becoming a B Corp or wants to have a chat about it, then just search for B Corps in LinkedIn and you will have a list of individual B Corps. Some might be in your industry or might even know somebody already, or look for B Locals and B Locals in your area, or just name, to be honest, if you joined B Local Cornwall, which is what we're in, we talk to you. You're all right. You don't have to be from Cornwall. We might kick you out later, but no. So we like to ask people if they've got a tip for our herd of listeners. Have you got a tip you can give us? Something they could use?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, with the sort of sustainable food hat on, I think it's probably eat more vegetables and better vegetables. And that's sort of like thinking about just eating more vegetables because it's good for you. The more veg you eat, it means you might eat a little less meat, which again would be good for water and carbon emissions, things like that. But also, start to think about where that veg is coming from. not all veg is created equal. So if you've got veg coming from farmers who are, not ploughing the fields, or they're thinking about ways that they can really enhance biodiversity on their farm, look out for stuff like that, because if we're all eating more veg and better veg, then certainly we'll be creating a better world and I think tastier food as well.
And that's going back to the packaging thing. One thing we're really lacking, aren't we, is the ability to identify those foods easily. It's an impossible thing. It would be another thing to add to the salt and fat content. You'd have yet another thing which would work out how disposable packaging is and then how sustainable the contents are. But it's a challenge, isn't it, to try and find the stuff?
Yeah, it's a real challenge because it's a challenge to measure this at the moment. So there are businesses who are putting their carbon footprint of that product on their packaging. I guess some people question whether they've made that relevant by understanding how that fits in with the other carbon footprint or what you're comparing that to. But the reality at the moment is with a lot of these things, it's really difficult to measure, and it's a big investment. If you're a sort of a fairly medium-sized producer, a farmer, and you're having to collect data on your carbon emissions, measure biodiversity improvement, and you've got different customers asking you different questions about what it is that they want to include in their packaging, it's a real challenge. We're part of the B Corp Regenerative Agriculture Working Group, so that's a really good group with loads of business in. We're just talking about it and sort of sharing knowledge, sharing practice, and trying to maybe do it in a more joined up way, so there's not sort of 100 different definitions out there and therefore 1,000 different measures that farms and producers need to think about when they're seeing how they can make their practices more regenerative.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks for that that tip. Have you got a recommendation that you could give us, something that people could go and have a look at or read or something?
Yeah. So I've actually got two, if that's all right. I'll be quick. The first one is a book by B. Wilson called The Way We Eat Now. So it's a really great book about the evolution of the food system. So it's part sort of fairy tale about what could be really good and horror story in what's not going so well. But it's just full of really interesting stories, and it's a very, very easy read. I sort of flew through that. And the other one is The Third Plate by Dan Barber. So Dan Barber is a chef out in the US, and he's sort of really championing good farm to table eating. Right. And this book just goes through different chapters focused on different ingredients and how they can be more sustainable. So there's even a chapter on what sustainable foie gras might look like, which sounds like it couldn't be a real thing. It's a really, really great read for anyone who's interested in food and how that can be a bit more sustainable.
Yeah, and I think it's that, I mean, you said it a couple of times, it was a bit more sustainable. I mean, if we all did a little bit, that would make a huge difference. And obviously there's people who've got a very big campaign like vegetarian, veganism, other people that want to completely eliminate meat from their diet and other things. But that brings its own set of challenges as well, because I must admit we tried it on the Green Elephant Show for a month and we were quite open about our challenges in doing it, although we do acknowledge cutting meat will reduce carbon emissions especially. So for our final piece, I'm going to subject you to three fact or fakes for you to tell me whether you think what I'm just about to say is a fact or is it a fake. So let's kick off then. He's on food waste, so you're well on it. Huh. It's estimated that 44 million tons of food is wasted by EU countries each year. The value of the wasted food equals £76 billion each year. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
That sounds like a fact.
It certainly does, but you're going to be horrified because it's a fake. It's 88 million tons of food is wasted by EU countries, costing £143 billion.
Wow.
So yeah, sorry, but I forgive you. It's 44 million tons sounds enough. Okay, number two, a RAP study was done in 2020, or a study by RAP, maybe, states that households waste 28% of the fresh veg and salad that they buy. Is that a fact or is it a fake?
Now I'm trying to think whether it's going to be higher than that. 28% of the salad.
Yes, fresh vegetables and salad, 28% of them are wasted.
I reckon it could be higher, so I'm going to say fake.
Oh, bad luck. Actually, 28% is a fact. It's the highest wasted food in European households. Okay, so I've won this one. So, you know, you can grab some semblance of glory by answering this one. Roughly one quarter of the food produced that is intended for human consumption every year, around 1 billion tons and valued at $750 billion, is wasted or lost.
I've heard like a third or even up to a half. So I reckon that's a fake.
And well done. It was a fake. And you're right. It was a third. It's a third of all food produced for humans is wasted or lost. And that's 1.3 billion tons and $1 trillion worth. So it could pay half of Biden's sustainability bill if we didn't waste so much food. It's the horrifying fact it carries on to say is that's enough to feed 3 billion people. So we're sitting in a world of poverty and hunger in one part of the world, and the other part of the world's throwing it all away than they could have had it. It's just horrendous, really. So we'll be posting those facts. It was it was an honourable loss at 2-1, but
I've got one more.
The green elephant takes the win. We'll take that one and add that to the stats for B Corp. So with that fantastic win on our behalf, it just leaves me to thank Andy Stevens from Cook Trading and for coming and letting him on the show. So thank you, Andy.
Yeah, thanks for having me and happy B Corp month.
Thank you very much. We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing, and don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit the website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.